Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Welcome. This is Dr. Keith from Phase 3 Wellness. We are back again after a pretty good absence with Phase 3 Wellness, the Phase 3 Wellness podcast and blog talk radio show. And it's been a while since I've been on, but we're back now and we're going to be talking about, today we're going to be talking about a couple of topics. We're going to be following the same outline that we followed in the past. And that typically goes with we take a article. The first segment is the Week in Natural News Review, where we go and we find an article or several articles sometimes. Today, we just kick off with one article. And we talk about an article. We look at it and we analyze some popular article or some article that we find interesting that came out during the Week in Natural News. And this week, we're going to be looking at an article that we've taken from naturalhealth365.com. And it's entitled, 2 weeks of sedentary behavior can trigger diabetic symptoms. And then in our next segment, we'll deal with what we call the healing foods. And in the healing foods section today, we're going to be talking about the benefits, the detailed benefits of watermelon. A very tasty fruit, but I want to share with you some of the more specific health benefits of the of watermelon. You may be quite surprised at just how nutritious watermelon is. And finally, in our third segment, the healing herb segment, today we'll talk about a herb called rosehip and some of the benefits that you can get from rosehip. Now, again, I am your host, Dr. Keith Henry. I am based in the Orlando, Florida area. I am a naturopath. Have been for a number of years, and just want to again welcome you to the show today. You'll be able to find this podcast if you can't stay for the entire show. The podcast will be, or the podcast version will be available here and in several other places throughout the web as soon as the show is over. Well, probably about 10 minutes or less after the show is over, you'll be able to listen to the entire show. Now, normally I would have the show set up to give you an opportunity to call in, but today we're not going to do that. I'm not going to do that today since we're just getting back after a long hiatus, if you will. So today I'm going to go in and I'm not going to take any calls today, but we're just going to talk about, just going to share with you some of the information. Again, we'll start off first with the Week in Natural News Review. And our first article, like I said before, is from the naturalhealth365.com site. And it's very interesting when we talk about diabetes. I've talked about diabetes many times before on the show. And it is because diabetes is such a devastating disease if not correctly managed or taken or addressed, if you will. I really don't like to say managed, because managed tends to indicate that it cannot be healed or reversed or cured. Just you have to manage it, have to deal with it. And myself, as most practitioners, that there are a lot of things that allopathic medicine, a lot of diseases or abnormalities that allopathic medicine teach or believe cannot be reversed, healed, or cured. And there are many things that we think can be reversed, healed, or cured when following a natural-based program that addresses the physical, the mental, and the spiritual aspects. Now, as you've listened before, if you've listened to any past episodes, you know that I address the spiritual aspect from a Christian perspective in natural medicine. Many others address the spiritual aspects from different modalities, but I choose to address it from a Christian perspective. And so whenever you hear me refer to the spiritual side of healing, I will always address it from the Christian perspective. Now, let's get into this first article. This will be the only article we'll deal with today. This is a pretty extensive article, but the article goes on to point out how researchers have long warned that a trio of factors, including obesity, poor dietary habits, as well as lack of physical exercise or physical activity overall, lies at the root of our national epidemic of type 2 diabetes. Now, in the U.S. alone, the diabetes currently affects about 30 million people. And it is actually the sixth leading cause of death in the nation. And as the article points out, there's an additional 84 million Americans who are pre-diabetic and with elevated blood sugar levels that, if left undressed, will definitely develop into full-blown diabetes. So we have a statistic that 84 million Americans are pre-diabetic and about 30 million are affected with the disease. That's well over 100 million people. And the article didn't even address those who are insulin resistant, which is like the first stage before you reach over into being pre-diabetic and then going into full-blown diabetes. So that's something that we should definitely take into account. Now, the article references a new study highlighting the risk of physical inactivity and demonstrating that even short periods of limited movements can cause diabetes symptoms in older people who are already pre-diabetic. Now, this study showed that the damaging effects did not resolve when normal activity was resumed. So it's like, okay, I'll go into detail of pretty much what the study did and what it looked at, and then we'll talk a little bit more about it. So the study was published last month in the Journals of Gerontology, and it explored the effects of a period of sudden inactivity on overweight, pre-diabetic, older adults. Now, the participants that they looked at in this study range in age from 65 to 73, and they were told to restrict their daily steps to less than 1,000 steps per day, which would be equivalent, according to the article, to being hospitalized or being under bed rest for about 2 weeks. Now, as a result of this period of acute inactivity, the study went on to point out that, or the article went on to point out in the study, that this 2 weeks of inactivity was followed by 2 weeks of a recovery period in which the participants reverted to their normal activities when it came to exercise. And the researchers found that the participants' blood sugar became elevated while the insulin sensitivity decreased. In other words, they essentially, during this 2 weeks of inactivity, or the equivalent of 2 weeks of inactivity, when reducing their activity, they basically became diabetics. These were participants who were already pre-diabetic and they were older. So if you're already older and you're already pre-diabetic, have been told that you're pre-diabetic or you're on the borderline, activity is crucial to keep you from going full-blown over into diabetes. Now, the researchers found that the participants' blood sugar became elevated again while the insulin sensitivity decreased. And the volunteers, here's the amazing part, the volunteers did not fully recover even 2 weeks after resuming their normal activity. They did not fully recover. The researchers said that they had expected the first finding, they had expected that they would have some issues, but they thought that maybe after going back to their regular level of activity, they felt that they would probably go back to their state of being pre-diabetic, when in fact that's not what happened. The lead doctor in this study, Chris McGlory, PhD, he's a research fellow at the Department of Kinesiology at McMaster University, he said, quote, "We were surprised to see that the participants didn't revert back to their healthier state when they returned to normal activity." He went on to note that older pre-diabetic people who have been off their feet may actually need to utilize active rehabilitation, dietary changes, and even medication to regain their metabolic health. Now, the editors, and I agree with them wholeheartedly, from the Natural Health 365 website in this article, point out that they would like to encourage the medical scientific community to explore the possibility of natural remedies only before resorting to medication. And I agree with that. In the study, as the doctor pointed out, that they, as opposed to just going back to the normal activity, they may need to make dietary changes and even medication. I would not recommend jumping to medication so quickly. I would say make the dietary changes, maybe even increase your exercise a little bit, and then maybe if you're not seeing the results that you may want to see, which I think if you make the right dietary changes, you will, but also maybe bring into the mix some herbs, that are known to help with the regulation of the blood sugar until the body can get back to where it needs to be before being so quick to jump to some type of medication. Now, this article went on to point out that a 2015 study published in Medicine and Science in Sports and Exercise helped to actually lay the groundwork for the latest study. So this is, they already, you know, they kind of knew they were going to get one half of this study, the one result in the beginning. They kind of knew that the blood sugar was going to go out of whack, but they just thought that when they would increase the exercise or bring the exercise back, that it would correct itself. That didn't happen. But there were other studies leading up to this study that kind of gave an insight into what would happen. And in the study, in the 2015 study, the participants, active, healthy young men, were actually asked to reduce their activity for 5 days, which involved dropping from an average of over 10,000 steps to a day to under 5,000 steps. The results actually foreshadowed the study that I just referenced. With reduced daily physical activity, this caused impaired blood sugar control. Insulin sensitivity declined substantially, while after-meal blood sugar levels increased. The skeletal muscle mass and the strength decreased as well. So basically, in other words, sharply cutting customary activity levels. If you're used to exercising every day, whether it's walking or jogging or working out, whatever, you're going to have a negative effect, according to all the studies that are associated that have been done pretty much along these lines. You're going to actually have a negative effect in your blood sugar. The article goes on to say that it is not only diabetes that can gain a toehold or a foothold through lack of exercise. Studies have also shown that inactivity is associated with increased risk of a variety of life-threatening diseases. Now, that shouldn't really surprise us, especially if you've listened to my show before. You've heard me talk about what we call the laws of health, the 8 laws of health that the Creator has given us. The Creator has given us trust in the Creator is the first one. Exercise, water, air, rest, diet, self-control, and temperance. Now, diet and exercise are two that play a significant role in helping to prevent you from developing diabetes in the first place, and also has a significant role in helping to reverse it. But there are other, as this article points out, there are other diseases, life-threatening diseases, that can actually occur outside of diabetes as a lack of exercise or as a result of being inactive. And according to the World Health Organization that's cited in this article, lack of exercise is actually the fourth leading cause of premature death, right up there at the top of the list with proven killers such as hypertension or high blood pressure. Studies have actually shown that the lack of exercise constitutes more of a threat to life and health than it being overweight or obese. So again, and one of the benefits, as I've said on here before, is that exercise helps in many ways. But one of the important elements of exercise is that it helps circulation. And to have good health, you must have good circulation. Without good circulation, you're not going to have good health or perfect health, as close to perfect as we can get. And if the blood and the fluids, especially the blood, is not circulating in the body in an efficient manner, you're going to end up with some type of issue, disease, or abnormality. Exercise has actually been known, as this article goes on to point out further, to add up to 7 years to your lifespan. And researchers have found that getting sufficient exercise can actually reduce the risk of a potentially fatal heart attack by about a 30% chance. So you can reduce the likelihood that you will develop a fatal heart attack by exercise by about 30%, which is pretty significant. And especially when you consider combining that with good sleep, good sleeping habits, good eating habits, et cetera, you can significantly reduce the likelihood that you can have, that we could have a fatal heart attack. Also, one of the other major benefits of exercise is outside of protecting against heart disease by improving factors such as high blood pressure, it also helps with inflammation in the body, which is a precursor or marker for many, many, many diseases, including cancer. The article goes on to point out further that there was a study published in the Journal of the American Medical Association, Cardiology, that showed that a single bout of vigorous exercise can actually offer clinically significant benefits and immediate protection against heart disease persisting for up to full 24 hours a day later. So in other words, you get the benefit of once you go out and do some vigorous exercise. Of course, if you're not exercising before you jump into any vigorous exercise, you should consult with your doctor and make sure that you don't jump into anything too quick. If you, for instance, you've been sitting on the couch for many months or whatnot, or you don't have a habit of exercising, it's not wise to just jump full-fledged into vigorous exercise. It may not be quite healthy for you. You will need to ease yourself into it. But once you get into exercise, it's shown that it has a benefit for your heart for up to 24 hours for each session of vigorous exercise that you conduct. Exercise may also be able, according to the article, to protect against the scourge of Alzheimer's disease, of course, because it helps circulation in many other ways and many other benefits of the body, helps the brain, etc. The article went on to point out that which in America alone, Alzheimer's disease affects about 5.5 million Americans. That's 5.5 million Americans are affected by Alzheimer's in some way. And so exercise actually helps to ward off Alzheimer's as well as other forms of dementia and Parkinson's disease. And physical activity actually increases the levels of brain-derived neurotrophic factor, or what's called BDNF, which is an essential signaling protein which helps to modulate brain plasticity, which is the all-important capacity of the brain to modify its connections and to adapt to new experiences. In other words, to continue to learn and expand. Exercise is also shown to help brain shrinkage, to mitigate brain shrinkage, which is the loss of brain volume as we age. So again, this article is an excellent article. Again, it can be found at naturalhealth365.com. And we're, again, this is our first segment entitled the Week in Natural Review. And again, I just want to deal. Sometimes, if you've listened to me before, you know that we have done this first segment many times. We deal with two or three articles in this first segment. But again, since it's the first time I'm back after a while, we are just going to deal with that first article here in this particular segment. We're getting ready to move on to our next segment now. I think I have a caller here. Can you hear me? I don't know if you can hear me. If you can, I can't hear you. Let me see here. I don't know if you can hear me, but I can't hear you. And so we'll move on to our second. Give me a second here. Let me see if I can pan you in here.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I can hear you.
How are you, doctor?
I can hear you now. I'm doing okay. How are you doing?
Thank you, sir. You know, excellent show. You know, in United States of America and North America, I mean, we are almost minimum of 10 to 20 different drugs we use. And each one of them has a side effect, into side effect. And then you can imagine, that's why we have so much mass shooting in the United States. That's why we have so much unhealthy. If the nation is unhealthy, then the downfall of the nation is closer.
I agree. Yes. In fact, if you look at most of the school shooting and the mass shootings, the great majority, if not all of those people, are on psychotropic drugs. So
sure.
I agree that in most cases, many, many cases, drugs have side effects, both known and unknown. And many times, especially when you're dealing with psychotropic drugs, and many, many Americans are on some type of psychotropic drugs. And sometimes they start off on some other medication, and then they have to give them a medication to offset for the side effect of the other medication, And before you know it, you're on 10 or 15 different drugs. That is correct.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, in Europe, the people are work more, as you mentioned, you know, or Asia, people are work more. They're more healthier. They're more thinner, more less issues they have. Of course, the drug can kill you. Water cures. Water is a source of the, you know, planet. 75% is water. And
that's
brain
true.
It consists of 75% water. I mean, if you ask your patients, doctor, Dr. Kit, right? Dr. Kit,
yes.
Right. Yes, sir.
Yes.
You know, you ask the first question, how many glasses of water do you take a day? Say, I don't know. Okay, think more. One or two or three at the most. But there is a Dr. Batman. His name, you just YouTube it, Dr. Batman and Water Cure. Also, he, while he was in prison in Middle East, all the people, you know, prisoners come to him. They said, doctor, please give us something. He said, I have nothing. Go drink some glass of water. But, I mean, at that time, they don't have a purified water in prison. But he said, okay, go ahead, take it. After some time, they said, I feel a little bit better. He said, go ahead and take some more. And then, finally, he found it, scientifically, he found it that, you know, the UCD, unintentional chronic dehydration is
right.
The cause of the old disease.
Right.
And
I actually, I am familiar with Dr. B. I have a couple of his books.
Okay.
And I have that book, The Water Cure. And I
also
have his book, The ABCs of, I think it's asthma, et cetera.
Yes.
And
yes,
it is. And one of the things that we talk about here is the benefits of the laws of health. One of those being water and being the therapeutic use of water, both internally as well as externally. And again, I want to thank you for your call. What's your name again, sir?
My name is Mike from Singapore, but let me say something else about diabetic, please. You know, devil claw is very good, and fish oil, the good fish oil you buy from the, you know, from Iceland and etc., is very good for the triglyceride, for cholesterol. Plus, it gives you more mental clarity. And devil claw, a good devil claw, you can buy it for $12 from major Amazons in Singapore or anywhere in Amazon. Membership you have in your country. So, yeah. So what do you think of devil claw, please, and the fish oil? Go ahead, sir.
Well, actually, I'm familiar with the devil claw, but I am a vegan, so I would use an alternative to the fish oil. But the devil claw, as well as there are other few things in terms of the herbs, as well as the diet, that we think we've had success in pretty much bringing normalizing blood sugar. And in fact, diabetes is actually, from a natural perspective, is actually one of the easier diseases to normalize if the client or the patient will go along with whatever it is they're being told to do. I need to move on, but I thank you for calling.
I
thank you for listening. Uh-huh.
Thank you for your information. Bye-bye.
You bye-bye. Again, I'd like to thank with Mike from Singapore. I'd like to thank him for listening and thank him for calling in. I'm going to move on to the next segment. And again, I'd just like to welcome you. I'm here live every Sunday for now. And if in the future, we're looking at maybe doing a weekly show. In the future, we may push it up to a daily show, but in the immediate future, we're just going to be doing a daily show. And again, if you chimed in and if you weren't able to get on the show, catch the beginning. Like I said, maybe after about maybe 5 minutes or 10 minutes after the show is over, the podcast will be available here on Blog Talk Radio. We'll probably also have it on some iTunes and some other places. But again, share it with your friends. Again, we're going to move on to the next segment. Next segment is the healing food segment. So again, if you're not listening before, we do this in three segments. The first segment is we take an article, sometimes two or three articles, and we talk about them that have come out during the week. That is the Weekend Natural News Review. The next segment is we look at a food and we look at the healing benefits of that food. Today we're going to be looking at watermelon. And typically, lastly, we look at an herb today, which would be rose hips. I don't think we'll finish with rose hips today. So if not, we'll finish it up next week. But we look at watermelon, which is, again, not only is watermelon very tasty, it's very, very beneficial. And right now in the U.S., we're in the summer months, so watermelon is available. If you're listening from somewhere else around the world, I don't know specifically how your availability of getting watermelon, or if you even have it in your area. But watermelon is a very, very tasty, one of my favorite foods. And it is a great source of free radicals, specifically in the form of vitamin C and lycopene. Now, free radicals are actually renegade molecules that are missing an electron. So to once again make themselves complete, they go off in search of an electron to steal from another complete molecule. So antioxidants like vitamin C and vitamin E and some other ones and lycopene, they actually intervene by providing one of their extra electrons to the free radical, thereby neutralizing the free radical and preventing it from causing cellular damage. This is how free radicals and how go out and try and they do damage in the body. But this is also how, when we have these antioxidants like vitamin C and lycopene, et cetera, this is how they actually help keep the free radicals from doing damage to your body. Now, when you consume watermelon, your kidneys actually convert the amino acid L-citrulline into another amino acid called L-arginine. And when you combine these two amino acids together, they have very many benefits. And one of the benefits, not the least of which, is protecting you against the development of diabetes. So who would have thought that eating watermelon, since we were talking about diabetes in the first segment, who would have thought by eating watermelon you can actually help prevent the development of diabetes in the first place? This is one of the foods that we can eat. Now, if you listen to some of my previous episodes from when I used to broadcast, they're all still here on Blog Talk Radio. But if you listen to any of them before, you know that I actually talked about the importance of eating foods that harmonize with the colors of the rainbow and that are closest to the garden. And if you eat those foods, those seven colors, you know, red, blue, green, indigo, blue, violet. The closer your diet is to those foods, and the closer it is to the garden, the healthier you're going to be. It is the diet that's closest to the diet that the Creator has given us. Now, there are some studies that show L-arginine supplementation is beneficial in regulating glucose metabolism as well as insulin sensitivity, and this is why, you know, again, the amino acid L-arginine is in fact in the watermelon. Now, you're not going to get, more than likely, you're not going to get the same amount of L-arginine benefit from eating watermelon as you would from a supplement. But if you're eating several healthy foods, other foods that also include L-arginine as well as watermelon, you're going to get a pretty significant amount if you're eating a varied diet, as well as foods like watermelon and some other ones that have the amino acids in them. Now, L-citrulline, which is the other amino acid that we spoke about here, is good for recovery. So, like a lot of times you will see post-workout drinks, those who work out in the gym, and in them, a lot of times you will see L-citrulline. Now, you can do a post-workout drink in eating some watermelon, because this is a restorative amino acid, and it actually helps accelerate the rate of lactic acid removal from your muscles. Thus, it gives you quicker recovery after you've had a tough workout. So watermelon also has a high water content, hence the name watermelon. So it will help you rehydrate. And it's actually very, very delicious, like I said before. So you have, instead of reaching for some supplement workout drink from the store, you can go home and maybe, or carry with you in a bag, probably in a bag of some sort, of go home and eat you a wedge of watermelon or a couple of wedges, and you can have that post-workout recovery that you and save that money that you may spend on a post-workout drink. Now, also, the lycopene in watermelon also is very, very good for the body. In fact, lycopene is also, you have more lycopene in watermelon than you do in tomatoes. And again, lycopene is a very beneficial antioxidant for the body. It has been proven to reduce cholesterol levels and the occurrence of cardiovascular disease in people who either take supplements or consume lycopene-rich foods on a regular basis. So there are people who take supplements with lycopene in them, or who eat foods that are high in lycopene, they've actually seen a reduction in their cholesterol levels, which again is one of the foods that do it, is the food that we're talking about today in our healing food section, is watermelon. Also, there's also some research pointing to a connection towards vitamin C and asthma. The research indicates that low levels of vitamin C correlates to an increase of asthma attacks, while higher levels of vitamin C are tied to a reduction in asthma symptoms. Now, again, I recommend getting most of your nutrients from foods, but there is something to be said because of the way foods are grown these days. Unless you're growing your own foods or eating primarily organic foods, many of the foods are going to be nutrient deficient. So sometimes it becomes necessary to use supplements to help the body get the needs or obtain the needs from these foods or from these supplements that you're not getting in the food. Now it's helped by eating a varied diet. It can be if you eat a variety of foods, that can help you significantly. If you have a little small garden on the side of your house or wherever you are, that can help. And also sometimes you just may have to take some supplements if you're not able to get. And also eating a lot of truly organic foods can also be very beneficial. Sometimes supplements can be necessary, and they can be very helpful, especially if you're getting sick or you have a disease and you've fallen into a deficiency state. Sometimes it's good. Actually, most of this, if not always, it's good to take supplements to bring your levels up to where they need to be. If you've gotten sick or if you start to suffer from some disease or abnormality. Now, with regard to watermelon, it also has a lot of other many helpful benefits. For instance, again, I'm just looking at my time here. I'm down to about 11 minutes and we still have one last segment to go. So the watermelon is also high in potassium. Now, potassium helps to regulate your nerve function by facilitating the passage of electrical impulses and messages. If you have too little potassium, it can cause a lack of nerve function, numbness, and tingling in your body. If you suffer from like nighttime leg cramps, a potassium deficiency might be the cause. And so, again, one of the things that watermelon can help is it can help with your potassium level. It can also help eradicate inflammation in your body. Chronic systemic inflammation is known to be a precursor, as I said earlier in this podcast, to many of the serious diseases that Americans, as well as people in other countries, suffer from today, including diabetes, heart disease, fibromyalgia, and even cancer. Again, like I said earlier, inflammation is going to be a marker. It's going to be a marker in many, many diseases. And as I said earlier, and as our caller said earlier too, it's very important to look at not just one or two things, but you have to look at the entire gamut. You have to drink plenty of water. Again, as you pointed out, the body is probably 75-80% water. The brain is probably 75-80%, maybe even 85% water. So water is crucial, but not only is water, but trusting in the Creator. People are stressed out there. The fact that they are stressed out and they're not dealing with issues mentally is that there's so many people on psychotropic drugs. A lot of people not being able to deal with the stresses, and then the stresses are leading them to get into a state of depression. And then because they're not able to deal with these things, they go to a doctor, and the doctor prescribes psychotropic drugs. So again, the mental side, the mental state is crucial. We need to trust in the Creator. We need to exercise, drink water, get out in the fresh air, get sufficient rest, have self-control, and be temperate in all things. We call these the eight laws of health. They're the foundation, and you've heard me say this, of healing, when you follow them and apply them in a scientific fashion. Again, eating healthy foods is crucial, and staying away from unhealthy foods is crucial. So this is why I like to do this particular segment, because many times people don't always understand that how the Creator has actually packed our foods with many of the nutrients, all the nutrients actually that we eat, that we need if we eat a varied diet. Now, watermelon, again, is high and rich in potassium, which helps the nerves. And also, it also helps with our pH. Now, we've done shows in pH in the past. I'm not going to really go into that right now, but the pH balance is very, very crucial. We've talked about that, and we'll probably talk about it more in the future, but it's very, very crucial to our overall health. In fact, if your pH is off, and if it's acid, and if it stays in an acid range consistently, that's indicative of inflammation overall in your cells and your organs. And eventually, you will develop a disease. But that's another topic for another day and another show. I'll jump down and I want to talk about one other thing about watermelon and how it benefits the body. I want to talk a little bit about how it benefits, I said earlier about the kidneys. During your average work day, we are exposed to countless toxins, and some of them come from the food we eat, or even the air outside that we breathe, and all the pollutants, etc. More come from unsuspected places inside your home or your workplace. Regardless of your source, your kidneys do a lot of work to keep you healthy by eliminating these toxins from your system. Your kidneys are crucial, very, very crucial. And, you know, all of these, our organs work, they work continually throughout the day and night on our behalf. And we don't realize just how fearfully and wonderfully we're made, and just how intricate the body is, and how many things that go on within the body that we don't even think about. And unless we get sick, and then we begin to understand the crucial role that our organs play that we don't even think about. So certain nutrients found in watermelon can actually help support the kidneys throughout its processes on a daily. The two main toxic fighting nutrients in watermelon are calcium and potassium. So again, I mentioned potassium earlier, but remember, calcium and potassium are two of the main nutrients. We also talked about L-arginine, L-citrulline, and both constituents of watermelon. There are some other things also, nutrients in watermelons. So this was not intended to be an exhaustive talk on all of the benefits of watermelon, but it was just to kind of lay the foundation as one of our healing foods and to encourage you to eat these healing foods, to eat them, to try to eat as closely as you can to the garden and as closely as you can to the colors of the rainbow. The natural foods that have the color of the rainbow are healing foods, and they help extensively when you combine it with, again, trusting the Creator, getting out in the sunshine, getting exercise, drinking water, getting air, getting rest, overall good diet, and self-control or temperance. Now, I need to move on to this last segment, which is a healing herb segment. And again, I probably won't finish this segment. And so if not, we'll finish it next week. But I want to talk about rose hips, which rose hips are herbs, or it's an herb. And right off the bat, I will tell you that rose hips are very high in vitamin C. We were talking about vitamin C before, so I just wanted to point that out. And I want to talk about the benefit, starting off, the benefit of rose hips in terms of, let's say, for arthritis. Now, arthritis in the U.S. is the leading cause of work disability, and it currently affects 54.4 million adults in the United States alone. That's not talking about other countries in the world. That's just in the United States alone. So both osteoarthritis and rheumatoid arthritis is actually autoimmune disease, but they are the two most common varieties, and they can cause debilitating joint pain, swelling, as well as loss of mobility. Now, there are new scientific review actually credits rose hips with actually being able to decrease inflammation and ease painful symptoms of arthritis, while also working to prevent chronic degenerative conditions such as heart disease and diabetes. So you've heard me talk a lot about some herbs that are actually very, very beneficial at reducing inflammation, one of my favorite being turmeric in the body. But rose, there are many other, you know, those are some of the more popular herbs. Like turmeric has gained a lot of attention in the past few years as being more of a popular herb that people are learning about. But there are many, 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 many herbs that have a lot of benefits that just because they're not as popular as some of the others that you may hear about, doesn't mean that they're any less efficient in what they do and how they work. Scientists discovered in some of the reviews how rose hips can actually help reduce arthritis pain as well as inflammation. In a new review of studies published in the International Journal of Molecular Science, the authors credited rose hips, the fleshy bulbs that appear beneath rose flowers, with beneficial anti-inflammatory and analgesic effects on diseases such as arthritis. Now, in one study, researchers found that a puree of rose hips from the Rosa canna, or dog rose, and Rosa arvineus, the field rose species, helped to inhibit production of the pro-inflammatory enzymes COX-1, or COX-1, and LOX, or LOX. These are the elements that actually lead to the inflammation and the pain in the body. And so they were found to basically to reduce the effects of these inflammatory processes. In a placebo controlled double-blind study involving rheumatoid arthritis patients, many of whom had the disease for over a decade, 5 grams or 5,000 milligrams of powdered rose hips a day for 6 months improved their quality of life and actually helped participants get better scores on tests of physical function. So they took 5,000 milligrams a day of powdered rose hips for a 180-day or 6-month period, and their quality of life was improved, and the participants got better scores on tests of physical function, which is good to hear. And again, there was a 2008 analysis of 3 clinical studies involving a total of 287 patients. In this study, it was demonstrated that rose hips powder reduced osteoarthritis pain and improved hip flexion, the flexibility of the hips, greatly, and also enabled the respondents or the participants to score better also on physical tests, and also it helped them to respond better in other physical tests. Now, I am down to about a minute, and so I'm going to get ready to kind of close out here. I want to thank those listeners, those who have joined in to listen. And again, if you didn't get all of this program, it'll be available probably in about 5 minutes after I shut down. But I would like to just thank you again for listening. And I'd like to remind you to join me next week, probably about the same time. Since I just came back, I want to get a set solid time. So it'll probably be about the same time. About 3:30, and just remember, we'll be here and we'll be talking about healing food. We'll be talking about healing herbs, and we'll be looking at anything that comes out this week that was beneficial. Again, thanks for listening. Until next time, have a blessed week and a blessed day. This is Dr. Keith Henry signing out.